Yes. I think the fact that we have intercontinental ballistic missiles, 400 of them ready to be launched at any moment, is either unknown to people in the United States or just accepted as part of the background, not something to be concerned about or discussed.
What about the lobby for these ICBMs? Is it any different than, say, what we would think of as the military industrial complex or defense lobby?
Well, there's a lobby for ICBMs, which is kind of a subgroup of the military industrial complex, but it's particularly dogged. There's senators from the states that have ICBM bases, like Wyoming, Montana, and North Dakota, and Utah, where a lot of the development work is done on ICBMs. And they've blocked virtually every attempt to either cut funding for a new ICBM or look at alternatives to a new ICBM, even to destroy silos that weren't being used, because they said, well, what if there's a buildup? We need those silos at the ready. So between those senators and then corporations like Northrop Grumman that's building a new ICBM, they've got kind of an incredible amount of power in the hands of a relatively small amount of people, making the world more dangerous for all of us.
These ICBMs are part of a general strategy, right? I mean, they are the land-based missiles, and then we have what, missiles on submarines, and we're able to also drop bombs from the air. And is it just one component of an overall strategy?
Yes, the ICBMs are part of what is known as the nuclear triad. So you've got the ability to launch long-range nuclear armed missiles from submarines or to use bombers to drop nuclear weapons. There's cruise missiles, which can home in on a target from a distance. So there's a whole range of ways that nuclear weapons can be delivered under the current strategy. And the ICBM is the most dangerous among them because they have to be launched on short notice if there's warning of attack. And if that warning is incorrect, you could end up with an accidental nuclear war. So all the nuclear weapons are dangerous. Ultimately, they all need to be eliminated, but the ICBM is the most immediate threat.
Have we just been lucky so far that some accident hasn't taken place?
Yes, there's been a lot of luck involved in us not having an accidental war. There's been cases of computer glitches where it appears the United States is being attacked with nuclear missiles. There's been missiles that have exploded in their silos and spread warheads into the countryside. There's cases where on the Russian side, they mistook a satellite launch for a ballistic missile. So there's a number of cases where basically somebody had to decide on short notice, is this a real attack or not? And so in that sense, we could have had a nuclear war by accident any number of times in the past.
Do you have any sense of what the people who live near these weapons think? Do they just kind of ignore them, or is there some concern that they are dangerous?
As far as I can tell, the people who live near the nuclear weapons bases and silos, by and large, have accepted them as just part of the fabric of their communities. And also, of course, they're big job creators relative to the size of some of the places where they're based. So there's thousands of military personnel. There's, in some cases, people working for contractors that maintain the missiles. There certainly has been some concern expressed by some members of those communities, among other things, about being essentially a nuclear target, because they'd be one of the first things aimed at were there to be a nuclear exchange between Russia and the United States. So it's not that there's no concern, but I think it for a lot of people, it is just something that exists in their communities. It's been there for decades, and it's kind of accepted as part of life.
Is there anything going on now that makes this issue particularly pertinent? Anything in Congress or anything in the military planning that's going on that could trigger some sort of confrontation?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns that was raised recently about having these missiles was the end of Donald Trump's presidency, where the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was concerned that he was so unhinged that he might actually launch a nuclear attack. And he put out the word within the nuclear bureaucracy not to proceed on Trump's orders without checking with him. He apparently communicated to the Chinese to be reassured that they would not be attacked. He spoke to Speaker Pelosi about it. So it just underscored the fact that one individual, the President of the United States, has the power to launch nuclear weapons and basically begin a conflagration that could end life as we know it. with no real stopgap. What the head of the Joint Chiefs did was not in the kind of legal view of what should happen in terms of who has the power to launch nuclear weapons. So that has gotten some members to re-up legislation that would have a no first use policy, saying the United States would never use nuclear weapons first in a crisis. Or there's a bill that would say there needs a congressional declaration of war before these weapons would be launched. There's also been initiatives to cut the amount of spending on the new nuclear weapon and put it into COVID prevention and response. So there is movement in Congress to try to curb this danger. So far, they haven't mustered a majority, but it's certainly an issue that's up for debate in the way that it hasn't been for quite a while.
What was your sense about Trump? On the one hand, he seemed to be against war because he kind of thought it was an interruption of business, or he didn't want to get involved with it. On the other hand, he was kind of impulsive. Do you think he really could have acted impulsively, or just the idea that so many people would have been killed and, you know, it would have been a big mess kind of pushed him away from that?
Well, one would hope that even somebody like Trump would stop at the brink and say, do I really want to?
I mean, he did stop that attack on Iran that was kind of planned, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one would hope he would stop at the brink before launching nuclear weapons. But the fact is we didn't know one way or the other. And the fact that people in the military feared that he might, I think, was scary in the extreme. So that's the problem with letting the president be the sole authority to launch nuclear weapons, is you never know when somebody's going to kind of go off and do something irrational.
What about Biden? Has he said anything in particular about the ICBMs?
Biden, as a candidate and during his time as vice president, had talked about perhaps we should move towards a policy of no first use. He's since kind of pulled back that rhetoric a bit, and his initial budget fully funded the new ICBM. They pulled out a advocate of nuclear restraint who was going to be involved in crafting his nuclear posture review. It was let go. So there's some concern that the nuclear hawks in the bureaucracy and Biden's kind of concern with other issues like getting his infrastructure bill and Build Back Better and his domestic agenda and so forth, the kind of flack he took for getting troops out of Afghanistan, may not tackle the nuclear issue as ambitiously as people had hoped. So far, it's been business as usual. There's some possibility that he could change policy as part of this review that's coming up, but we don't know where that's heading yet.
Ultimately, would you just like to see these weapons abolished, or would you prefer a step-by-step approach, kind of gradually getting rid of them somehow?
Well, I think the first step would be to get rid of ICBMs because they're the most dangerous weapons in the nuclear arsenal.
Would that depend on an agreement with the Russians?
I would get rid of ICBMs independent of what the Russians do, because the United States would still have more than enough nuclear weapons to dissuade them from attacking the United States, between the ones on submarines and the bombers. And there's an organization called Global Zero that's put out an alternative nuclear posture that would have a small number of nuclear-armed submarines, some bombers in reserve, eliminate ICBMs as a way to have a deterrent, but on the road to getting rid of nuclear weapons altogether, which of course would require international action by the other nuclear powers. So that's a longer term goal. But in the short term, certainly getting rid of the ICBMs would provide a measure of safety that we don't have now.
Anything else you'd like to add to what you said?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest challenge we have is for the public to focus in on this issue and press presidential candidates and Congress to get rid of these weapons. And I think there's some beginnings of that happening. People like Dan Ellsberg have been pressing the case. Groups like Roots Action are trying to mobilize folks. So, you know, it's difficult with, there's issues like climate change, police violence, people's economic circumstances that are more immediate in terms of affecting their lives. So sometimes it's hard to get them to focus on the nuclear question itself. But I think the time is ripe to be doing that.
It seems like every time there are negotiations over nuclear weapons, it's really about, can we reduce our stockpile? That seems to be as far as they get. Is that your sense?
Yes. Nuclear negotiations so far have mostly been about managing the size of the force, changing the composition of the force. The exception being Reagan and Gorbachev at Reykjavik in 1986 seriously contemplated a deal to get rid of nuclear weapons altogether. But the hawks in the administration pulled Reagan back And also Reagan was not willing to give up his cherished Star Wars program, which made Gorbachev feel that he couldn't go forward with eliminating nuclear weapons. So there's been moments, and there's been presidents from Kennedy to Reagan to Obama who said we should get rid of nuclear weapons, but the action has not matched the rhetoric.